18 back together for round 5 action at the AFL. Paddy is out. Hummer is back. Gentlemen, it was a good show last week.
Paddy did well, didn't he?
Should anything ever happen to me, I think he'd be a nice...
he would be. He would be.
Nice be in good hands.
Look and at he handled the answers about the April Fool's Day joke that you guys ran pretty well too. He was a little bit sheepish about the results. how did you think your April Fool's Day joke went?
Look,
we didn't get to speak to you about it last week.
Didn't get the traction you wanted.
It probably didn't get the traction we wanted. It got diluted because of a number of reasons.
Okay.
We had to change the jumper so significantly that there was no IP issues. So. Right. It all that came into play.
Just unravelled on you, didn't it?
It probably didn't get the traction. But you know what? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and that's the
very
good. Thankfully, we get the licence to drive here.
It's that's good.
Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan?
No, Gretzky, Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky.
Yeah, he was the one that said that.
Jordan said it too.
Big week of footy. Now, have we got a new favourite in the
Dogs? I think so. I think they're the real deal. The Western Bulldogs, you come into the season and people always want to question their forward line in the past. You know, can they score enough and the defence? Well, Alex Keith's rock solid down back now and a couple of the changes. Dale going back, he's been really good. Bailey Williams going back. The back line looks rock solid, but it's the forward line, Nate, isn't it? I mean, Bruce is fit and playing well. Aaron Norton's going to be a genuine star. His hands are like vices.
English.
But it's Timmy English. With Steph Martin coming, English is added to that forward line and we know how good their midfield is. Do you think they're... I think they're...
So we know that they can run and carry. We know how good they are. But on the weekend, 81 tackles. I haven't seen the Bulldogs that brutal in the midfield. And they taught the Brisbane Lions a lesson around the footy, not only how to get it, but also tackling. And we did a thing on the Sunday Footy Show and they retweeted something that I said, the Dogs are the genuine deal this year. Yeah. And there was, I reckon there was 20 comments saying they haven't played anybody yet. Well, they have played West Coast, who are going to be at the pointy end. And they have also played Brisbane, who played in a prelim last year. Yeah, they've probably dropped off early, but I still think Brisbane will play finals. So I think they're going pretty well, the Dogs.
They've played 2 of the top 6 last year. Yeah. So you can only beat who's in front of you. But the way that they're playing... And they're not just winning, they're dominating games. So I think they are.
$6 shot for the premiership. Port Adelaide and Richmond, the only sides ahead at $5.50 and $5 respectively. Yeah, other end of the spectrum, Collingwood, $34. We knew with the off-season that perhaps it wasn't going to be the easiest of years, but are they in real strife?
You know I'm on big calls and we've got a few coming up later on. I don't like making big calls early in the season.
But
so,
I'll make one.
So I think just reserve things on Collingwood a little bit for now. Yeah, they've had big issues over the summer. There's one thing I think over the years, if your whole club's not in line, there's going to be trouble once you get out on the field. And obviously we know they've had some issues off the track and Eddie Maguire leaving and just a few things bubbling around behind the scenes. So the whole club isn't in line and that normally transpires to out onto the ground. So they've got a few issues, but, I mean, people are already calling for Buckley's head, Nathan, which is rubbish.
Everybody loves a coach sacking, don't they, in the media? Yep. I just don't get it. Nathan Buckley, they hunt for one. Nathan Buckley is as good a person in football as you'll meet. And the problems at Collingwood, obviously he is the coach and he's the figurehead, but they don't exactly start with him. When your list manager or your football manager comes to you at the end of last year and said, we've actually got to slash about $1.5 million out of our total play payments because we're going to be over. We need to fit in Darcy Moore. We need to fit in Jordan Ngoi. So here's a list of players. These are the ones that we can move on. These are the ones we need to move on. And by the way, one of those players, if it's Adam Treloar, we're probably going to pay $600,000 of his money. So we actually can't get anyone in for it. So you're going to lose 3 of your midfielders and then you're not going to be able to get anyone in to replace them. So, and Nathan Buckley's sitting there going, well,
hands tied. What can he
do? I need depth. And then people start writing articles. Robbo wrote an article, and big fan of Johnny Ralph. I like Johnny Ralph's articles, but he wrote an article.
Was that a little cover off before you
It was a little cover off. Ralphie, it was a cover off because. But an article, a 6-point plan the Bucks needs to do. Now, get more
give
bang.
Us the 6 points.
Get more bang from Brody Grundy's Bucks. Like, no shit. Like, obviously, he'd love Brody Grundy to be playing the way he played in 2018, but at the moment, he's not. Bucks doesn't have a wind-up thing on the back of Brody to say, go out and play better. That's up to Brody Grundy.
That's just a form issue.
Try Darcy Moore up forward. Like, he is the best defender in the competition. They have one spot that is actually working for them, and he is absolutely toweling everybody that comes through. Why would you take the best player in the history of Collingwood's probably defence out of there?
So the point here would be, you're right, you've probably got the best defender in the game at the moment, right? So you take the best defender in the game at the moment to put him up for. He's not going to be the best forward in the game.
No.
I just don't think he is.
It's not going to be the difference.
So let him be the best defender.
Give Kelly a decent crack. Kelly's had a lot of injuries. He can't get out there at the moment. Degoe must slim down. Now, I think he looks slimmer than what he did last year. So he had a big pre-season. He had one good game. He's been down, as have a lot of players. Be straight with supporters. I agree with that. And back in the kids. Well, that's an easy thing to say, but unless the kids are up to it, I mean, you're going to get beaten by 100 points. If you put all kids in, like they're suggesting, you're losing then by 80, 100 points, and it starts to really eat away at the fibre of the football. Like I said, I'm a massive Johnny Rolfe fan. I read every one of his articles.
That's a cliche, back in the kids. You can't just throw kids in if they're not ready to play. Buck said it on the news reports last night. You can't throw kids in if they're not ready. If they're ready, they play.
We saw Isaac Quayner go to Toby Green because they're trying to teach him. He wasn't ready for the challenge of Toby Green. Had a good crack at it, and Buck's left him on him for a while, which I thought was great. But he's the type of player that's been around for 3 or 4 years that still isn't up to playing on Toby Green. So they want to throw in all these young kids that are untried. I don't see how that works.
So were they cooked? Do they play finals?
It's going to be tough. I think they're going to be anywhere from 8th to 10th, 11th, around that. I think they'll win 10 or 11 games.
The thing is, 5 games ago, they beat West Coast in Perth in a final. They could go over there this week and do it again, and all of this talk will go out.
And they should have beaten Brisbane 2 weeks ago.
They should have.
They are Buckley's chance of making the finals. Do you know where that saying came from?
No. Hey, I'm a big fan of Johnny Ralph. I just want to put that on the table, Ralph.
You've said it 3 times now, Nate.
Buckley... I forget his first name. He was a prisoner. No, the actual original Buckley, where the saying Buckley's chance came from. He was a prisoner at Port Phillip Bay back in the old days when they first travelled, and 6 convicts escaped.
Yeah.
5 of them died, and only, I think it was Wayne Buckley. The one Buckley, he was the only one that survived, and they said, well, it's Buckley's chance. William Buckley was
very
his
good.
Name.
William Buckley.
So, yeah, there William
could have been,
survived.
Could have been Jimmy.
Hey, did you ever, you didn't sport a mullet at any time during your career, but you had a very...
A long hair.
You had very long
had
hair.
Long
very,
hair.
Very bendigo sort of rat bag. Did you ever
mullet,
have a mullet?
A mullet's when you're short on top and long at the back.
Did you ever have a mullet?
Yeah, I did.
Did you have long hair as well?
I had a mullet and the long hair all over. Did you? You sort of had a semi little mullet, but not a good one. Not a Port Adelaide mullet.
Not a Port Adelaide mullet. And they are the best mullets. Type of mullets. Well, anyone from Adelaide rolling a mullet.
Let's have a look at those. For those that
they're better than
watching,
the North Queensland mullets,
are.
If you're listening, you'll have to go to our social media.
So we're talking about
the mullets.
We're talking about Lockie Jones who debuted on the weekend. One of the great mullets. So we thought, let's go back and have a look at the great mullets of all time. And this was Greg Anderson before he went to Essendon and played at the Crows
as
well.
It got longer at Essendon too.
It got longer. It got about 6 inches longer at the back. So that's the great Greg Anderson. Look at this man here.
Brattles.
Look at that.
Look at the fringe.
A bit curly as well at the back.
Curly.
I played one of those Irish in 2000 and Brattles asked me to go for a run with him. So, yeah, no problems, Brattles. And
he's the best runner of all time.
Within 500 metres in, I was 300 metres behind.
So that's Craig Bradley. That is a great mark. This is one of
Scotty Hodges.
That's really nice and short on top. And at the sides.
That's more your traditional mullet, isn't
it? That's a real Port Adelaide sort of mullet. The great Scotty Hodges. Remember he had a bit of tilt about him, Scotty Hodges? And that's who this young man is modelling it all off. That's Lockie Jones. So he is fitting in the tradition of Port Adelaide.
But even past Port Adelaide, you've got the great Stephen Kernahan, who was from Glenelg just down the road. He had the best mullet of all time as well.
Very rough area, Port Adelaide. Well, it used Alvin to be.
It's the wharfs,
the wharfies up there.
That's sort of their demographic.
You'd think you'd fit in with the wharfies, wouldn't you?
I'd go all right.
You'd think you'd be one of those.
I'd go all right. My uncle was a painter and docker back in the day, so it is in the blood.
They're back in vogue, though, the mullets, aren't they?
How about the Port fans, Richo? Because you've just...
Just watching Friday night, Nate, you called the game. It is the hardest road trip in footy. I mean, Optus Stadium is a tough trip, but if you go over there and play Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval now, it's a full house every time. It's an intimidating
place. Especially if it's a Saturday night.
Yeah, it's loud. It's very, very loud. It is intimidating. It's a great initiation. So Richmond had 2 debutants on the weekend. If you're going to throw someone into the fire, take them over there to Port Adelaide because they're fans. They get up and about. And I'll never forget a game we played at Footy Park in the late 90s, so before they moved to the Adelaide Oval. And I busted my arm and it was a good break. You know, I could feel it. I knew it was broken. I dislocated my elbow and I was in absolute agony coming off the ground, straight down into the rooms. You didn't need an x-ray to know that it was broken. The doc said I was in a fair bit of trouble, called the ambulance, gave me the green little stick, the morphine stick. I'm sucking on that, and they put a blow-up cast on my arm. So it went right down my arm to my wrist, and it was blown up, and I was in a fair bit of pain until the morphine kicked in. And I'm walking out to the ambulance, and that footy park then, you could get right up near the rooms, right? See, the fans could stand right outside the rooms. So the ambulance backs up to the rooms. I walk out. There's a couple of Port fans there, and it must have been half time by this stage. And this bloke is sucking on a cigarette. You know how they really, really suck it back? He sucked it
back. The way you used to do it in about the late 90s.
And he's giving it a good suck. He's blown it out. He's looked me dead in the eye, and I sort of caught eyes with him. And he looked at me, he goes, "You're weak as piss, Richardson." And I thought, that just sums up a great Port Adelaide fan.
That's pretty funny, though.
I had to laugh, and I'd had the sticks. I got in the ambulance. But she's pretty ruthless, I thought.
Hey, what about some of the calls that are getting thrown up? We spoke about old Ralphie, you know, throwing his hat in the coaching ring by making some suggestions.
Yeah. I had a big call last a couple of weeks ago. I said that Zach Butters could be as good as Gary Ablett Jr.
Better than him.
I said in the same mould. I didn't say better. And for three quarters last week, he was absolute world beater. He looked like Gary Ablett the way he played, and then he got injured. So I'm back in the
That is a big call, but I love that you're doubling down on it. So a few weeks ago, I did the big call. And this is my little thing at the moment. I've got a real hobby horse about this big calls. We're getting them every week now in the media. I said, wait till round 8 or 9 before you make your big calls. But Duck Carey didn't listen, the Duck. He went on Triple M last week and he said, St Kilda are gone. They are absolutely cast. They won't win another game till around 7 and 8. He said, they will be 1 and 5. They're gone.
Well, West Coast coming up this week.
West Coast coming up. What did they do? They come from 33 points down, kick about the last 10 goals in the game and beat West Coast.
World beaters, didn't they?
They look like...
We discussed it with him on Sunday on Triple M, and he was backtracking, and then he almost the ego of the man nearly tried done. To say that what he said spurred them on. Like he said...
Oh, you inspired him.
I'm glad that St Kilda proved me wrong. Like, hang on, we're trying to prove you wrong, Duck. He made a stupid comment.
So Duck's made another big call. He inspired the Saints to win. So I like that one. We're going to do these big calls every week until about round 8 or 9. And the other one, Jordan Lewis on Fox.
New to the media.
Yeah, new to the media. Now, we know St Kilda and Essendon, they've got a bit of young talent, haven't they?
Yep.
Let's just wait a little while before we say. Geordie said before that game, have we ever seen as much young talent on the field in one place before? I'd suggest that in the history of this game, we've seen more young talent. Yeah. The Baby Bombers won the premiership in 1993. They had about 5 18-year-olds in that premiership. So remember when West Coast first come in?
Yep.
You know, Djakovic, Brett Hedy, you know, Dean Kemp. They had about six or seven young guys.
McIntosh.
Worsfold.
So that's a big call. We have seen plenty of young talent before. So a couple more big calls.
There you go. And speaking of young talent, Nick Nat. Just encroaching on Richo's territory on Sunday.
Was he?
Yeah.
Right on.
He was doing special comments.
On Channel 7?
Yeah.
On the boundary.
I better look for a job. I reckon I've got 2 years left.
I reckon they might bring the kick back and let Nick Nat host at Brownie.
Didn't you like the kick? What was wrong with the kick?
I love the kick. I was shattered that COVID took it. I was heartbroken.
I'd never seen it.
Did you ever watch it?
Yeah, it used to be you, Mick Malloy, and Samantha Lane. Is that right?
Yeah, Sammy Lane was on there.
Right. It was a good show.
It was meant to be a family-friendly type show.
Gone before its time to kick. hey, Richo.
Yes.
You're not the biggest horse racing partner. Brownie is.
Mm.
Did you happen to see a horse running around at Bunbury called Richo?
I didn't, and I wish I'd have backed it because it's a massive price, and I can't understand how you don't get on this. Well,
have a look at this.
Clearly named after you.
It is. I mean, it's got
the yellow and black.
I feel like I've been let down by the trainer and people in WA. Surely someone could have let me know about this. Look at the silks, Brownie.
Yeah,
yellow and black. Listening, we've got it up on the screen. It was race 5 at Bunbury. A horse called Richardson in a Richmond jersey has saluted at $201.
Would you believe it? And this trainer has another horse called Cochin. So clearly it's a Richmond-type stable. So I get that text message right after the race, that screenshot of the Sportsbet account there. That was Campbell Brown asking me whether I got on it. Could have texted me before the race, Brownie. 201.
You would have put a 20 on it.
I would have put 20 on it.
20 on, that's $400.
Mm. $4,000.
$4,000.
$4,000. Mm. Jeez, that'd be
good
nice.
Good math, son. That private school.
Would you? You would have put 20 on, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, there's a horse called Hums and a horse called Hummer Hummer that I back to the hills every single time, and they're good horses, not named after me, obviously.
And you know what? Time. Richardson will never win again.
Never, ever again. Hey, I was at the pub the other day. I spent a lot of time at the pub. Yeah. You know. But I was at the pub, and it was my local. I went down to have a wee. And you know at the urinal where you've got the silver tray and then you've got the little step up. Now sometimes it's a concrete, sometimes it's a grate.
Well, it's normally a grate.
I stand behind the grate and wee onto the metal. Now I was doing that and a guy came in and he goes, "Mate, what the hell are you doing? You're pissing all over the grate." I said, "Well, yeah, that's what the grate's there for.
That's where people stand, Hummer."
Well, that's what he said, mate, get up on the grate.
You understand what he's saying? That's where everyone stands.
Well, no,
stands.
I've never stood on the grate. Do you stand on the grate?
I don't know where I stand.
I do. Because why would it be there otherwise?
Yeah,
show some common sense. Why would the grate be there if you're not meant to stand on it? They just wouldn't have it, would they?
It's a strange thing to have, though.
That does make sense. That does make sense. But I think that everyone's doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to stand on someone's piss on my RMs.
Yeah. That's not a bad... I like that sort of thinking.
Tell me why it would be there then.
I can't answer that. That puts...
To filter out your wee. What are you talking about?
Is it there for cleaning purposes? So
they can lift it.
They lift it up and then be able to get enough in there.
Are you supposed to stand on the grate? We're going to put it on social media.
I think you stand. I can't understand why it would be there if you're not meant to stand on it.
Mm. Hey, you had a pub meal this week.
Well, this came out from why I brought this up, that my wife and kids are away in Gippsland this week, so they've been away for... They left Monday. They don't get home till Friday, so four days. And I've never... Since
that
we
is
had
the dream.
Over 10 years ago, I've never, ever... been on my own. So I'd gone away, obviously, with you a couple of times, but it's a bit different.
You've never had a night at home on your own?
Never had a night in my own house on my own. And it's quite eerie. I was sitting there, I didn't know what to do.
Don't you like your own company?
I love my own company, mate. But I was a bit lost. And what do you do when you're a bit lost? I thought, bugger this, I'm going to go over to the pub.
Pubs down your way.
Great pubs down in Williamstown. It's an old pub called The Rose.
The Rose.
Very old.
And it is.
Dockers one.
It's a really good pub. And I'm in there.
It hasn't been done up.
Not done up. Really old oak like this all over the walls. So sitting there, started talking to a couple of these old dudes at the bar, and they're rusted on, proper drinking the little mini pots.
Oh, ponies.
Yeah. So ponies. And they're all laughing to each other. Anyway, we got talking about footy.
And they know who you were, did they?
Matthew. Yes, they did. That's a Bulldogs area. So we're talking about footy, and then one of them goes, "Oh, Brady, I see you on those sports bet ads." He goes, "Any chance of a bloody winner? Everything I back with you is bloody shithouse." And all four of them then started laughing and roaring their heads off. They thought it was the funniest thing ever been. But it's great to go to a pub on your own. Normally you go to a pub with other people, but it was great to go to a pub on your own and just stand there and just suck it all in.
I love it. I love going to the pub, mate. Read the paper, have a couple of pots.
Does it get annoying? I would imagine. I go to the pub all the time on my own. In fact, every time I drive home from the office, I stop in at the Elgin.
Every
time since COVID, because it's only a couple times a week.
It's the same guy that has a glass of scotch next to his bed every morning.
Well, I just like it. It gives me another hour before getting home. Do you get accosted though?
You know what people do? People think you're weird when you're sitting at the pub.
They do,
right?
And they want to come over.
And I do it a bit on a Monday, arvo, because we work all weekend. Monday's like my day off. You go and read the paper and have two or three beers. Quite often, people will come up and invite you to come and sit with them. It's like, I actually want to be here alone. I'm actually enjoying this.
Do you feel rude when you say no?
Well, then they think you're even weirder.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not come and sit with us?
Hey, what's doing your head in, Richo?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
I'll tell you what's doing my head in, it's some of the rules in the game at the moment. You know that I'm a bit of a traditionalist. I've gone on about this in the past, and I've had to eat a bit of humble pie recently with the demanding of the mark rule. Because let's be honest, it has worked, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Through the middle of the ground,
incredibly
it's been great. But on Sunday...
It's been the one greatest invention in the last 100 years of football.
And winding the interchange back to...
No, just this one.
No.
The one and you're, the
one you're game's in the best the shape it's been in 2 decades.
I agree.
The one you didn't like.
I agree, right? So I like the manning of the mark through the middle of the ground. You can get quick play on.
Yeah.
But it's a ridiculous look for the game when someone is standing 40 metres out from goal on the mark and you're not allowed to move, and the umpires aren't calling play on quick enough. At the MCG on Sunday, Melbourne and Geelong, I saw a couple of guys running out and almost kicking. So I'm standing on the mark. They're almost kicking it next to me, and all I can do is watch you kick. That is a ridiculous look for the game. Surely when you're having a shot at goal, you should be able to man the mark properly, jump up and down, yep, and try and put them off. I get it through the middle of the ground, but seriously, it's a bad look for the game.
So it's not a bad point you make.
They've got to change that.
So within the forward 50, within the arc, if you're on the mark, you can move around.
Yeah, because it just looks stupid. Yeah. You're sort of standing there like a statue and he's kicking it next to you. Stupid. The other one.
I think you should take charge of that to try and get that rule changed.
I am.
Like you are doing with Tassie, trying to get a side down there, you and Tim Lane.
Yeah.
I think they're your two big things. Right. They are your two big rocks for this year.
I haven't finished yet.
Tasmania and also that rule change.
Well, what about this one? Did you see Robbie Gray handballing it through the goals?
Oh, yeah.
From 8 metres out?
Yep.
How deliberate was that, right?
Very deliberate.
Remember last year in the final, Hamish Hartlett did the same thing, 2 metres to the left of the behind post.
Yep.
Right? So if you do it there, that was a free kick. Kane Lambert kicks the goal. 2 metres the other side of the post, you can just pick it up and handball it through. It should be the same all over the ground. I just think we've got to make it all the same.
Uniform.
It's just silly that one side of the post you can't deliberately push it out of bounds, and then the other side of the post you can handball it.
On the other side, you want one rule for the rest of the ground, but a different rule for inside 50.
That's right.
Sort of contradicts itself, doesn't it?
It's doing my head in, mate.
It is time for the Nuffy Jar.
I was in deep thought.
You're not quite with us today. You've rattled today. Something happened to you on the way.
No, nothing right? happened. What nothing happened? Happened. I was just away with the fairies.
You've got your Duck Dynasty gear on
again. I was thinking about the Elgin, actually. Hey, Nuffy Jar. No, admittedly, this is what happened. I skipped a segment, which we're going to just crowbar in.
Yeah, that was going to be a good segment.
We'll crowbar that in. But Nuffy Jar.
Yeah.
Let's go with outside the room. Normally we focus within the four walls of the studio, but a good friend of ours, I played golf with him last week, Sam McClure.
You did play golf with him, and in fact he told me that he may have caught you cheating a few times, Hummer. Hummer tees the ball up a foot the other side of the tee.
He finds a nice bit of grass and just tufts it up.
Anyway, look at this here. This really caught my eye over the weekend. Gary Neville, Manchester United great, one of the all-times over there in Manchester. He's put out a little tweet, Ollie. So he's obviously talking about Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer. Is that how you say it? And our mate Scoot McClure's got involved with him. Who should Chelsea starting three central defenders
be? Come on, Scoop.
Come on, Scoop. Do you really think Gary Neville's going to respond?
You know what? I find funny if we can get that up again. Obviously, an Aussie guy, Tyler, has just told Sam McClure to stick to making up footy stories, boss.
How condescending can you be?
You've dropped the boss there.
He deserved that, though, Scoop.
He certainly did. But it wasn't the only one.
No, not
that
at all.
That came up. And, mate, you got to stop. What? You got to stop.
I know you're trying
to remain relevant, but you were even pointing to your own tweets from 3 weeks ago. Don't mind the new man on the mark rule, which you clearly didn't, but we've just discussed on this program. But then 3 weeks later, you've used a finger emoji to point to it again.
You tweeted your own tweet.
Just arrogantly, I did this 3 weeks ago. It hasn't been done yet. Just come to me, comment on me, like me. It's something wrong with you. With this, I never thought you'd turn into this sort of person.
You like the point I'm making, though, don't you? Hey?
No, you can't be quote tweeting your own tweet.
No.
I admit it's horrible.
Richo Brownie and Hummer Award next. Just before we dive in, I mentioned that I did skip a segment in Around the Grounds. So we're gonna go back to that. Now, when you've worked at Triple M, you've been there for what? Well, you've been in radio for a long time. It's not as prevalent now because we don't have as many games on at the same time. But do you remember back in the days they used to go around the grounds?
Yeah, because you had five games on.
Around the grounds for the TAC?
Around the grounds for the Ace of Gemstone. Do you remember that?
Yep.
What else was there?
Around the grounds for Choice Hotels.
Any more?
Around the grounds for Hard Yakka.
Hard Yakka. And then you had Clive Peters' goal of the day on 3W. But we're going around now. Local footy is a topic very close to my heart. I resumed
played
full back, resumed against an old foe.
How many did he kick on you?
I kicked three. But it was actually a good tussle. This man and I, we're both sort of, you know, big blokes, and we just belt the hell out of each other every time we played each other. And then this time, the first time, we had a beer afterwards and had a chat, had a laugh. It was,
So is this your nemesis, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, we've always...
Have you ever had a beer with him before?
No. No, normally it's ended
good
pretty,
bloke. He's probably a better bloke than you thought, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. A good knockabout tradie type like me. So we had a beer and...
So you blokes just punch on all the time when you play.
Every time we play.
A knockabout tradie bloke like him. You're not a tradie.
You're not a tradie, mate.
I was. I used to be.
You used to sell candles, mate.
I used to sell candles and security solutions.
That's not a tradie.
That's not a tradie.
No, but while I was studying at uni, I was a plasterer. And that's as tradie as it gets. But basically what we're doing is we're going around We're going around the grounds in local footy
Known you're a plasterer. I want you to prove that.
Okay. I'll tell you what we'll do. Next week we'll bring in some plaster and I'll plaster a wall. I will plaster the back here just to show that I used to be a plasterer. But anyone
plays against Hummer this year in footy, I don't want you to hit him. I just want you to leave him intact. But somehow I just need the best sledge you can get out to Hummer. Sledge and then send it into us.
I had one. It was from a crowd member on the weekend. Now, I can't repeat it because it was very derogatory, it was quite funny. I had the crowd laughing.
Good sledge in the crowd.
But basically, we're going around the grounds to the Ace of Gemstone where we are going to find the biggest hidings in local footy. Now, before we get to the first one, I just want to bring your attention to the largest hiding in history. Now, this is from your area, Brownie. In 1990, poor old...
Primrose.
This is in the Bendigo.
Were defeated by Campbell's Creek.
The league just down
100 goals, 34 behinds, 634 to
318. Now, there's a bit of a legend going around about that game, Nate, that perhaps they let the clock run till they got the 100
goal. Well, it was dark as well. Right. So it was dark. And so they've had to put on all the lights around the ground, you know, when drive the cars around the ground and parked them. And apparently the last three goals, they actually stopped the clock and they hadn't pressed the buzzer.
Right.
And as soon as they got that 100th, the siren went.
You don't mind that with a bit of history in the making.
Yeah.
You get to 97.
So our good friends Nutter Wadding, who, of course, featured in the Battle of the Battlers a couple of years ago, they're not in action yet. But there is a side out that played out sort of in the north. Have a look at the score now because I've forgotten what it was. Now, have a look at
Oak Park.
Jacana. Imagine being Jacana. They've had a great preseason. They've trained since November. They come out against Oak Park and lose 1-6 to 54-15, 339.
There's a positive there for Jacana. At least they kick straight. They have one shot and kick straight.
It would look pretty awful if it was just one behind, wouldn't it?
So you reckon at Oak Park, you would have thought someone kicked, you know, 15, 16 goals. No one kicked double figures. You had one guy kick 9, two guys kick 7, one kick 6, one kick 5. So they spread the load
around. But if you're the coach Jacana, how do you go, look, boys, we've just trained for 4 months. We've just come off. We didn't have any footy last year. And you've come back in the
go the positive. We kick straight.
All right, let's dive into the Richo, Brownie and Hummer Awards. Richo, do you want to start with the good ones, the Richos?
Yeah, I will. I'm going to give one vote to Tim English. I love it when a young player, you know, announces that he stepped up in this competition. And he's one of the reasons why the Dogs are probably flag favourites at the moment. Love what he's doing forward, going up there, taking big grabs. And he's playing really well. I love this guy. He's a real leader at the moment. Toby Green, the last 2 weeks, has kicked 5 goals in each of the last 2 games. A captain on the weekend against Collingwood. Backs against the wall. 90 at best 22 out. And he comes out and is best on ground at the MCG against Collingwood. Love what he's doing, Toby. I reckon he should be captain moving forward next year.
Yep.
It just takes the pressure off Canelio as well. And Toby looks like he wants to be captain. Do you agree?
Spiritual leader, yeah.
Yeah. And 3-2 Christian Petrarca. He can't say he's dusty at the moment because you've got to do it in finals and really, really big games. But if he starts doing this in finals, 36-2 goals like he had against Geelong on the weekend, he'll be right at the top of the tree. So 3 to Christian Petrarca.
Interesting that they've tagged the last 2 weeks against Melbourne. Oliver both times, De Boer, and obviously Oliver got on top.
I was surprised.
O'Connor. So it'll come for Petrarca. The tag will come, but that's the depth of a good midfield because Ed Langdon's playing some pretty good footy out in the wing as well and racking them up. Christian Petrarca got one vote for me. Toby Groen got Toby Green got two votes for the same reasons. Jeez. And Jack Steele, three votes for the Saints. Now, he came out last week and said, we're embarrassed. He goes, we don't want to play like that. And he put it on his teammates and he put it on himself. And
he backed it up.
He backed it up. When you make a big call, you got to back it up. And that's exactly what Jack Steele did.
Geez, it's a gutsy call to go so public with that.
Yeah. But Stephen Cornelio did the same thing last year and didn't back it up in the way he played. So Jack Steele, well done.
The Hummers.
Yes. Okay. I gave one to an I won't name him, but there's an umpire in. Just put down the umpires, all right? You can't have a game of footy where you pay 10 free kicks. This one particular umpire paid 10 free kicks, and every single one of those 10 free kicks went to one particular team, being Port Adelaide. He paid 10 free kicks, and Port Richmond got all 10 of them.
Yeah, that's a bit Richmond Nuffy, that. Yeah. I'm sorry.
He's still got his double code on with number 8, Michael Roach, on
How
the back.
How can you not pay one to the other? You pay 10 Richmond, for the Richmond night, and they all went to Port Adelaide.
Richmond should be more disciplined. That's
be
a real
more disciplined, huh? That's why you're a bit
nuffy. Did you get in trouble
today?
I didn't get in trouble today, and I'd appreciate it if you didn't bring up private conversations that I've had in the office on a podcast that's going to hundreds of thousands.
Two to West Coast. You can't give up a 33-point lead halfway through the third quarter when you're meant to be a top four team. They'd be really flat with that, and Collingwood struggling a bit at the moment. I gave them three.
I gave one vote to Charlie Cameron. He is the barometer down there, and I think when his body language and he's up and about, everybody comes for the ride with him, and I just don't think his body language is where it probably needs to be at the moment.
Are they moving the ball a bit slow for him?
Well, whether you move the ball slow or fast, a really good player will find the footy, and he needs to work how he's going to get the footy, because he's got obviously another big player down there that he has to contend with, but I think it should be adding to his game rather than detracting having Joe Danaher there. And he's a really good player, and they need him at the moment to stand up. Two votes to Brody Grundy. Big Sausage doesn't want to play football. He said that on. He doesn't want to be out there playing football, yet he comes out after not playing much football and beats Brody Grundy. So it's a start of a long deal, Matthew, but he's pretty
long,
ordinary.
Yeah.
A long time to fix it.
He'll get better.
Yeah, he's got 7 years to fix it. And three votes. And I love this guy because I work with him every Sunday.
You're covering off again.
I'm covering off.
Oh, my God.
But my man, Kane Corns, like, he said at the start of the season that Adelaide have the worst list in the 30-year history of the Adelaide Football Club. Now, they're 3-1. They go and they play Fremantle this week at home, and they could be 4-1. They've got Tex who's winning the Coleman.
4-1, they're a lock to play finals.
No, they're not. They're Coleman.
Not a lock.
Tex could be winning the Brownlow at the moment, yet Kane doubled down on that and said they are the worst list Adelaide has ever produced in 30 years. Well, they can't be the worst list.
He think they won't play finals.
Well, he thinks they're the worst list. He thinks they should be on the bottom of the ladder. So he's doubled down on it. And I love the way that Kane backs himself in, but you got it wrong, mate. Mm. Give it up.
All right, previews and hypotheticals next. Three games to look at before we dive into some hypotheticals. And a little bit of a different hypothetical this week. Well, there's one different one. It might not actually be a hypothetical, but we'll see. St Kilda Richmond kicks things off tomorrow night at the Telstra Dome. $2.76 St Kilda Richmond, $1.45.
Danger game for the Tigers.
It is.
St Kilda were very good last week, and St Kilda play well against the Tigers. So I think it's a very close game. I'm going to stick with Richmond just because I think they can get the job done. They were very good last week against Port Adelaide. I thought Port Adelaide probably should have won by 4 or 5 goals, but their efficiency going forward, Richmond was what probably kept them in it. So expecting Richmond to bounce back, but thinking it's going to be close.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. At Marvel Stadium, Richmond haven't had a great track record there against the Saints over the years. Look, that Port Adelaide-Richmond game was as finals-like an atmosphere and intensity as you'll see. So that gives you confidence if you're a Richmond fan that they found a bit of form, because they've been a little bit off to start the year. I think they can bounce back and win this week. But it won't be those odds you just mentioned there, Nate. I think they're a little bit short for Richmond.
Skewiff. The second game we're going to look at, we touched on West Coast, $1.33, Collingwood $3.37. Big
record.
Price because they're battling, but they have got a magnificent record
they
over
do.
Earth.
They have, but do they have the same depth in their list that they had when they've created this record? West Coast were disappointing last week. Like, start of the third quarter, you think West Coast have done their job. 33
points up.
Their best
two midfielders out.
33 points up, and they're travelling quite well. So I think they should be able to beat Collingwood, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if at the end of the game Collingwood's won.
Yeah, I think you've got to stick with West Coast at home. They'd be really disappointed with what they served up in that last 40 minutes against St Kilda. Their pressure was right off, and they just fumbly. But with your two best midfielders out, that's take that out of every team, and you're going to, you know, be a little bit off. But you expect them to bounce back at home. It'd have to be a massive turnaround for Collingwood to go over there and win.
Last game we're going to look at is a tough game to predict. Carlton, Port Adelaide at home for Carlton. $2.18 on offer for the Blues. $1.69 for Port. Is this?
It's a big step up.
You think it's a danger game, do you?
It is a danger game for Port, but it's a big step up for Carlton to go from beating Gold Coast and then stepping up to beating Port Adelaide, even with a couple of players out. And they're genuinely good players Port are going to miss, but I just think Carlton are too short. If Carlton were $3.50, which I think they should be, I think they should be well outsiders in this game, but they're actually at a price that you think, I don't think I can touch that price, and I don't think I can touch the price for Port because I'm worried about their injuries. So if Carlton were a bigger price, I'd probably back them at the line.
Yeah, I think Port, I mean, they've got a lot of depth on that list now over there. So, yeah, they've got some young talent out. But I watched the Carlton game against Gold Coast Saturday night, and it was a pretty dour sort of game. I know it was humid and slippery up there, but I just think that the Port Adelaide forward line might have a little bit too much for the Blues. So I think Port, you can't tip against them. Dixon, is Dixon just a little bit off at the moment?
Yep. He's just a little bit off. Yeah.
Battling. All right. We'll finish up the show with our favourite segment, Hummotheticals. It is the favourite because it's the only one that we have every single week. We've never missed. And which puts a lot of pressure on me to come up with these. Because
you've had 2 weeks to think of those.
Well, you banned me using Reddit. Now, Reddit was my absolute holy grail of hermotheticals. So
it's the only one we do every week. Richo's doing my head in stick.
No, we missed one.
We did miss one.
3-2-1s come up every week.
We do that every week.
Yeah, we do that. All right, that's semantics.
Around the grounds.
There's a lot of things you can't back up.
Semantics. Semantics. All right, first one. If you could get a ticket to any show or event in history of the world, past, present, future, what would your ticket be to?
Oh, gee.
Good one.
I like that.
Very, very good one.
That wasn't mine either.
Mm. Whose was it?
You always like the ones that aren't mine. Nath John gave it to me.
What would you go first? Any event, so sporting, anything.
Anything. Concerts, inaugurations, funerals.
I'm going to Martin Luther King's great speech. I'd love to be there.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I'm going to Oasis at Nebworth when there was 300,000 people there.
And Liam Gallagher reckons if they didn't limit that to one show, they'd still be playing now. They could have sold that many tickets. That's a good doco when he talks about that.
Good man. What about Woodstock?
Woodstock would have been good.
Woodstock would have been fun.
Oh, you reckon you would have gone okay? Woodstock
gone all right.
You've got your kid off at Woodstock?
They'd be scared if you rolled in with that.
If I was in better nick, maybe.
If you were 93 kilo Hummer, you
93 kilo.
Not 110.
I'm not 110. I'm 98 kilos now, 98 and a half. Okay, I'm going to give you a very... What's your best car that you could possibly think of?
Best car?
Like, within reason, not like a $500,000 car. Your dream car within under $200,000.
A Maybach?
Okay. Is that under $200,000? They're about a million.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you a Maybach.
Maybe a Bentley.
I'll give you a Maybach, right?
Yep.
Rego, insurance, petrol, mechanic fees, everything, all expenses paid. But...
I reckon if I'm buying a Maybach, I don't need to worry about the insurance and the rego.
What is a Maybach?
It's a flog. I'm not surprised. What's your car? You pick yours.
I don't care about cars.
It's a Kia Stinger.
It's just a question he asked. So answer it. Just
think of a car. Maybe,
I don't like cars. I'll get a HSV V8 Commodore.
No, they don't make them anymore.
Well, I guess, I'll find you one,
A Porsche, all right, a Porsche 911 Turbo.
I love that we're not letting Richo have a car they don't make anymore in a completely hypothetical question.
A Porsche 911.
What could you think you're in bad?
Okay, Porsche 911. All right, I'll give you both those cars, but every single time you need to look for a car park, it takes you 15 minutes to find one. Do you take it?
No, I don't care about cars.
I'd take it.
Every single time.
I'm happy to be patient. I'm a patient man.
Every single time. If you just want to go pick up pizza, 15 minutes.
Nah.
You just factor that in. You leave earlier.
What if the kids are in the car?
Hey?
The kids, how do kids iPads. Go?
Do you genuinely like driving a fancy car? Like when
I drive a Kia Carnival.
So when you're driving it around, do you feel a bit sort of bigger in it?
The Kia Carnival? normally not. Christine doesn't like it. But I'd
You know when you see people
it's practical for cars,
they, you can tell they think they're a bit better. They think they can drive through traffic and cut you off. And, why? Why?
I don't know. I drive a Kia Carnival. I keep telling
you. What happened to the Q8?
The Q7.
Black rims, Q7s.
Matthew used to drive around a Alfa Romeo, and it was too small for him.
Like you'd see
him. I used to be like that.
He'd be like one of those blokes. You're like, you don't fit in that car, mate. Like he took up too much of the.
I said, Nathan, I don't care about cars, and I was given that car to drive.
All right, I've got one more. This is the one that sort of flies along the borderline of, is it a hypothetical? I want you to rank from shortest to longest the three following activities. One, you drive every single road in the world. Two, you listen to every single song on Spotify. Or three, you watch every single feature-length movie listed on IMDb.
I think the roads by a country
mile. The roads will take the longest.
If you've got to drive down every road in the world,
yep.
I think that would take you a lot longer than listening to every song or watching.
All right, and then what comes next after that?
I reckon the songs, because you can't make as many movies as songs. So there would be the roads, the songs, and then...
The movies.
I'm going to go the movies, the roads, the songs.
The answer, with 429 hours, is every single song on Spotify.
429 years.
429 years. The movies.
Really?
Is 90 years. And the every single road in the world is that would take you 130 years at 60 kilometres an hour, assuming you never slept or did anything.
Wow.
So there you go. A little bit of maths for you. And
totally
stats.
Out.
Stats. You can use that on the weekend on your shows.
Is that true?
That's true. There might be some. It might be a bit wrong because of my maths, but it's about. It's
no what? About. I question it.
All right, check those stats. That's going to do us again for this week. Good luck on the punt this weekend. Good luck on the ponies and the footy. But if you are having a gabble.
I question that.
I like something in the Sydney Cup.
Do you? What is it?
She's ideal.
She's ideal. All right, so if you're having a tickle on She's Ideal, do so responsibly.
I might go down and tell them tonight.